We're in lesson 28, but I gave you some test questions that we may get to it. But this is something I want to share with you, and be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, before we get to Daniel. Some things sometimes we probably need to just look at this again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. At Dispensation Bible Church, we have a little motto, studying the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Bible's own way. I just want to give you this little introduction here for the people that might be listening via the internet and all. Just something that stood out there as what we do. Because as grace believers, sometimes you get accused of not studying the whole Bible. All you do is lift up Paul, Paul, Paul. All you want to know is Paul, Paul, Paul. Now God through Paul told us a lot of things. God uses Apostle Paul to share what's going on a dispensation of grace of God. He does not use the Apostle Peter. Now, 90% of your churches out there will somehow, some way, go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or follow Apostle Peter, or even follow Moses. And, you know, that type of thing. And that's an error. It's scriptural, but it's not dispensational. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3... 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, it says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, and then, how do you do that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now God spoke a book. Inspiration, God given, right? God spoke it. He spoke a book, and we are to study it, just half of it? All of it. We have to study all of it. But in order to get profit out of the book, it must be rightly divided. And some of us today has come to that understanding like, wow, there's a key in the scriptures. There's really, I can understand what God's saying. I don't need a book about the book about the book. I don't need a preacher man to come up here and tell me how to study. When God tells you to study, it says study to show thyself. Who's thyself? It's yourself. And approved unto who?
God.
Your preacher man. You want, right? That's what it says.
God.
No, God. Amen. You want to say God. It's right, but God desires to have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. But you need to study the Word of God. But back here in verse 16, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. You notice it says for reproof, for correction, for instruction. You notice it don't say to? So, all scriptures are given for something. Now, we tell you, and we study some things out, that we say all scriptures are for you, but not all is what?
To you.
Right? Now, to get doctrine, profit for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I'm going to share this with you. The book of Romans. Apostle Paul wrote 13 epistles, actually 10 books, some of them's twice, but he wrote 13 epistles. You know what the number 13 is? Means in the Bible. What is it? Number 13. Do you ever have a? You ever get in an elevator and push number 13 floor?
Unlucky.
Yeah, it's unlucky. It's a number of rebellion. Okay, that's why he's the 13th apostle. He's not the 12th apostle. He didn't replace Judas. He's the 13th apostle. He was in rebellion against God. In fact, he was moving up through the religious system with the Pharisees. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. Touching a law, God through Paul. He's blameless. That man was blameless under the law. And he had threatening letters to persecute anybody that talked about Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. He was a rebellious guy. And God chose
them. Jesus talked to the Pharisees, called them hypocrites.
Hypocrites. In fact, when John the Baptist was in the wilderness, he was outside Jerusalem baptizing. He says all of Jerusalem and Judea came to be baptized of him, except who was that? Pharisees and the lawyers. Imagine that, lawyers not showing. But the Pharisees. So who was Paul? So even if Paul was here at this time, which he wasn't here at this time, I don't think he was. But he did not get baptized as John. Now, why was John baptizing in the wilderness? What was he doing out there?
Preparing.
Calling out a remnant of people to believe. And people believed John's message because they believed the word of God that they had in their hand, that there's somebody coming, a forerunner to Jesus Christ. So he was a Pharisee. He was a rebellious guy. So we need to study the whole Bible, guys. That's why we're in the book of Daniel. Okay? We was in the Old Testament book of Matthew not too long ago. You're probably shaking your head. Old Testament Matthew? Yes. Old Testament Matthew. Well, how do you figure out? Because in my Bible it says New Testament. Who put the New Testament writings between Malachi and Matthew in your Bible? Who's that?
Publisher.
Right. Man did. God didn't authorize that. You know, so the thing is, if you want to know where you find the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament of Jeremiah 31. Talk about a new covenant, a New Testament. So that's where you find that. So Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, talks about until there's a death of the testator, there is no what? Testament. How many of you guys sitting right here has got a last will testament written? Wow, there's four. Yeah, majority of you do. When does that take effect?
When you're dead.
Right. Can your kids come up to you right now and take that and say, no, you're shaking your head, no. So, when did Jesus Christ die? The last book of Matthew, the last book of Mark, the last book of Luke, and the last two chapters of John records the death of Jesus Christ. So, guess what? What was that before that? Old Testament. You with me? So when we study the Word of God rightly divided, four is profitable. How do you get profit out of the Bible, guys? You have to rightly divide it. But it's for profit, for doctrine. I mentioned there's 13 epistles Paul wrote, right? What's the book, first book after Acts that you read?
Romans.
You know that wasn't the first book you wrote. He didn't write Romans till over here in Acts chapter 20. That's way down the line there. So the book of Romans. Some say Galatians or Thessalonians is the first book that he wrote. Galatians, if it's Galatians, guess what he settles altogether?
Law.
Law, there you go. Grace. You're under grace, not law. Why you're going back to the beggar elements? So that's a good thing that he wrote. Or Thessalonians. What's the Thessalonians issue?
Rapture,
the catching away. That's a good thing to think about. Right off the bat, he settles that. Because there's people there. Listen, are there people there today coming up to you and said, there ain't no rapture? You're going to go through the tribulation period just like everybody else. Well, that's what Paul talks about in the book of Thessalonians. He settles that, guys. There's no need for me to write for you about this stuff. But the first book of doctrine for the body of Christ is the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's people out there that rightly divide the word of truth. They trust Jesus Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again. And they divide where Paul don't divide. Now, we divide the scriptures, rightly divide the scriptures. You're either going to wrongly divide the scriptures, rightly divide the scriptures, or don't divide at all. A lot of people don't divide at all, right? But there's a group out there that says Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians are not written to you. Because they have Jewish information in there. And that's the Acts 28 brethren. Okay, they're saved. But they're extremely over here. You know what the Acts 2 people would call you, an Acts guy? Ultra or hyper. So you're a hyper dispensation. I'm going to stay away from you. Well, you know what they call Acts 28 guy? Ultra. It's even more further extreme. So in order for the first book of doctrine that Paul, but God, when he assembled his canon of scriptures, he puts Romans there as the first book profitable for doctrine. Where do you find out that you're saved by grace through faith? Romans. First five chapters in the book of Romans is about justification, guys. This is what you can share with people, okay? First five, you get the first five books down. And it's about justification, and it's, you know, Paul never brings that up ever again. Ever. In the book of Ephesians, we'll get to that in a few minutes. It's another book of doctrine. He don't go back and say, hey, you got to be saved by grace through faith. He tells you that, for by grace you're saved. But he don't go back and explains how it's done. So the first five chapters in Romans is a book of justification. What's Romans 6? 7 and 8 is what we call the book of sanctification. What does sanctification mean? To set apart. To set you. That's how you get saints. You set yourself apart. Romans chapter 6, you're dead to sin. Okay? If you're dead to sin, what good is it? We talked about it ain't good at all. But who brings it up?
We do.
There you go. That flesh goes, you sinner. Boy, that's good today. I feel good. I'm in it. Right? And Paul says, you're dead to that. Romans chapter 7, you're dead to the law. With me? What good is the law if you're dead to it? Nothing. Then Romans chapter 8, you're dead to the flesh. And also in Romans chapter 8, the last part of it, it's glorification. You got a glorified body. Then Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is what we call dispensational. That he's showing what God through Paul is doing in the dispensation of grace, and that what Israel, the saved Israelites that got saved over here in Peter, James, and John's economy over here in Acts chapter 2, they're still living in the times of Paul. And Paul is writing to that Jew saying, listen, God has not forgot about you. And they're like, I can imagine what they're like. Oh my gosh. Because, you know, God's changing the program. What do I need to do? Hey, God's got a plan for you. Romans 9, 10, 11. And it's talking about over here. Then you got Romans chapter 10 through 16 is application. What you learned through those other chapters, you're going to start applying it to your life. Then you talk about reproof. For reproof, what's Corinthians? It's a book of reproof. What's after Romans, I should say? It's profitable for doctrine, reproof. What's the next book after Romans? No, wait a minute. What's the next book after Romans?
Corinthians.
Very good. It's a book of reproof. Listen, I say this one time, I say it 1,000 times. The book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church is not a model church. They was doing things in that church that was not named among the Gentiles. But where do you find the gospel of Christ at? In the book of Corinthians. That's what saves you today, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again the third day, according to scriptures. So he's reproofing their behavior. He comes down hard on them, guys. Comes down hard on them. Really bad. What's after Corinthians? No, what's after Corinthians?
Galatians.
It's a book of correction. They were saved by grace through faith. Outside of anything, baptism, circumcision, tithing, whatever. And guess what these people was trying to do to them? Put them right back under that law. Oh, it's okay to trust Christ died for your sins, bury, rose again. But you need to do this. You know, take Galatians chapter 2 and Acts 15, and they go together. Read them both. This is what's going on. This is why they have to. They said you can't be saved unless you're circumcised the way Moses was saved. You with me? Mm-hmm. They ain't no different saying you got to be baptized or join this church, that type of thing. Is it scriptural? Yes. But it's not dispensational. After Corinthians, you got the book of what? Galatians, you got the book of what? Okay, that's another book of doctrine. What God through Paul is going to explain about to the Ephesians, and we've learned that, is that now it's the more advanced mystery truth of what you're doing up here. Not on earth, but in the heavenlies. Then what's after Ephesians? Okay, that's a book of reproof. Hey, their mind wasn't right. Their behavior was perfect, but their mind wasn't in line with what God was doing through Paul. So he reproofs them. And if you notice how he reproofs the Philippian church, it's nowhere near how he did at Corinthian church. He didn't come down hard on them. He's like, hey, you know, get your mind right. You know, behavior was right. You know, I used to tell my kids all the time their behavior was bad. You know, I had to reprove them as a dad. But sometimes their mind wasn't right. Their behavior was okay, but they wasn't thinking right. And you know, I had to say, hey, think about what you're going to do. And it made a world of difference in some situations because it was I'm going to think that I've got to do this a little better. So that's what they needed to do. Their thinking wasn't right. Then what's after Philippians?
Colossians.
A book of correction. Once again, there was correcting their thinking. Then you have, what's after that? First and second? That's where you get instruction in righteousness. You know you can find doctrine, reproof, and correction in the book of Thessalonians all day long in there. But look, we're studying the whole Bible. We're taking out of here Thessalonians. And you might be saying, well, what's up with Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That's books that governs the local church. Okay? That's how we conduct ourselves. That's where you find about the bishops and preachers and all that stuff. Deacons, and you find out. Okay? We're taken out of here. God goes back working through the nation Israel. What are their book of doctrine? What's after when we're taken out of there? How's the Bible go after Hebrews, what? Hebrews is a book of doctrine.
Peter.
Okay, hang on a minute. But Hebrews, you got Hebrews. They're going to take the Hebrews epistles. They're going to take these epistles and start applying it to their lives the way we do in Romans to Philemon in today and today dispensation of grace. Now, I can't guarantee you because I'm not going to be there. But I can almost wonder, and I'm probably right on this, there'll be people over here that will try to apply Romans through Philemon into their lives to confuse the message. And they're going to have preachers up there at 144,000 saying, this is the gospel, this is the doctrine, this is reproof, these are good books. And there are going to be people like, rightly dividing word of truth. And they're going to rightly divide the word of truth and understand their Bible. Just like you and I should be understanding our Bible. Now, what's Hebrews? Book of doctrine. It gives them about who Jesus Christ was at the cross. You with me? It's going to tell them about their salvation. What's after Hebrews?
James.
James is a book of reproof. He's going to reproof them because of their behavior. You don't have that other coat you was talking about? You're not taking care of your brother? How can you have faith? They're going to have to show it. So, not Paul, James writes to... You ever know who James writes to here? You ever notice James 1:1? Now, what tribe are you? What is the tribe?
Cleveland tribe.
Indians. See, you're not even there. But people want to tell James is a book for you. That's just an error. Totally error. So it's a book of reproof. What's after James?
Peter.
It's a book of correction. Peter's correcting them. Their behavior. And he talks about some things. He talks about born again. He talks about you doing this and this and this. Then what's after Peter?
John.
And that's a book of doctrine. Okay? They're going to get doctrine out of the book of John. What's after John?
Jude.
Reproof. Their mind. Then after what is what?
Revelation.
A book of correction. How they live in this stuff. So they're going to have a Bible over there, the same as we got a Bible over here, but it's all fulfilled the Word of God, the canon of Scriptures. Now look, God's desire is to have what? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay. Should your desire be the same as God's desire? If you want to follow God, they're going to have over here, ages to come, they're going to be the same thing. Their desire to have all men to be saved, and that's why they're preaching. But is all men going to be saved over there? Is all men going to be saved to here? I think you know that question, don't you? But does that stop you from sharing? Does that stop you from preaching the death, burial, and resurrection and teaching right division? You know, to help all to understand the twofold purpose of God is the in Genesis 1:1, God created the what?
Heaven.
I posted a little thing on Facebook today about, you know, the difference between a fairy tale and a truck driving story and God's word is. A fairy tale starts out once upon a time. Truck driving story starts out, you ain't gonna believe this. And God's word starts out in the beginning. God created the what? The heaven and earth. God made a distinction between the heaven and earth that He has never separated yet. And then that distinction is what we call the earth is prophecy. From Genesis 1:2 all the way over Acts chapter 9, God's focus is on the earth, guys. And it's prophecy what He's speaking about. And then the mystery program is the heavenly program. Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Romans chapter 16:25. Then in that threefold division we talk about all the time. Times past, but now, ages to come. Where do you find that at? Paul's epistles, Ephesians. That's why Paul is showing us what God is doing that was given to him through God, Jesus Christ. Let me slow down a minute. Did Apostle Paul, did he get his information and instructions and teachings from the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ?
No.
Are you sure? Okay. If he had threatening letters of Jesus Christ, the teaching Jesus Christ, the kingdom gospel, you think he knew about the kingdom gospel? You think he knew about God? He knew all about God, the Creator. But that name, Jesus Christ, he didn't agree with. So when he got struck down on the road to Damascus, what did he say?
Lord,
who
Lord,
are
thou, Lord? Is that a question or a statement?
Well, he knew who the Lord was, God.
Who art thou? Lord?
Yes.
Are you the Lord?
I'll take it as he knew who God was, yeah. Lord.
Who art thou?
Who art thou, Lord? And then he goes, and what Jesus Christ says? I am
Jesus.
He probably just like, what?
Well, am I in trouble?
Yeah, big time. So he knew that, but you got to look at that stuff ages to come. And but now, God also said, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, thou shalt commit to faithful men who are be able to teach others also. So when we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, our goal is to teach you to be able to teach others. With me? And you got to be fed. And you've got to be given the right food in order for your body to move. It's fuel. But I guarantee you this. If you're saved by grace, if you trust Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again, your spirit and soul saved. That's that spirit's got to be fed. Okay? It's got to be fed. If you're feeding it wrong doctrine, if you're feeding it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you're feeding it the law, if you're feeding it the earthly minister of Jesus Christ, now, that's good information, isn't it? But how is your whole, the spirit that lives inside of you, how is it going to move you into the proper way that God wants you to be moved to if you're not feeding it the right doctrine? It's going to sit there. Yep. But it's not going to be the energy that feeds. So once you get the right doctrine inside of you, then it starts like, whoa, this is exciting. And your spirit starts to move a little bit. And you're like, whoa, this is what I need to get out. This is... And then you hit a brick wall, don't you? Then you hit family members. Then you hit churches that you used to go to. Okay, he's in a... How can God be in that little police station down there? There's only a handful of them people down there. You don't see what I see up here. I see you reaching thousands of people. Listen, we got a ministry that's global. We got a message that's out of this world, if you will. And in order to get that message out and get that doctrine built out, that's why when you get fed, you start getting fed the right doctrine, you start reading Paul's epistles, you're like, whoa, this is strange. This it's not lining up with what I've been taught. But listen, clear your minds. Just clear your mind. Like that old can of sardines. You put that key in there. Remember that kid? If you're like me, when you got a can of sardines, you're usually kind of hungry. And you're like, you're turning that key and it break. And you're like, ugh. You ever did that? And you had to get a pair of pliers or you attempt to use your fingers hoping you don't slice them open. But you put that key on there, right? And you start turning it slow. And you start peeling it back. And it gets easier and easier and easier until it opens that whole can of sardines. That's the way your mind should be. Don't close your mind to what God is sharing today. You're going to run into people every day when you try to share this with people that, like Walton was talking about today, when you talk the word dispensation, like dispensation, what are you talking about? Well, if they got the right Bible, it's in there four times. If you got the wrong Bible, it's probably not in there at all.
I know it was in there. I just didn't know what it really meant.
Okay. It means dispense. And that's what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. He is dispensing what God is doing for the age of grace. He was dispensing law over here. But the thing is, when we teach this and teach it right, you watch people go from, if they never heard Jesus Christ, they go from death to life. I was talking to my son the other day, and he's talking to this girl that's very conservative, very church-growing people. And, he's in Barber College, and they found out that he was a son of a bishop. And that's a joke, by the way, But anyway, and they're like, well, we didn't expect that type of thing. He said, yep, I'm getting a common thing. A lot of them don't know who God is. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. And you might think, how in the world is that possible? Now, I'm looking at some of you in here. You're at least 50 years old. You know at the time, everybody knew who Jesus Christ was, it seemed like. Now that's not true. Now people don't know. And they're whatever God you want to believe in. That's why when you get to the understanding about Islam and Buddha and Confucius and all those people, they're gods. And they're like, who's Jesus Christ? You can let anybody be your own God. That's dangerous. That's why you need to be able to understand some things and stand up and say, okay, this is what God is doing today. A lot of people will fight you over the King James Bible. They will not. They don't like that. They don't like authority. Okay, and that's what that is. It's authority for God, for God's people. So when we teach this message and teach it rightly, we can go to the book of Daniel and we can understand some things go to the book of Daniel now. I just want to give you a little information, intro. And when you go to the book of Daniel, you can understand some things that God is doing through Daniel. Now, we left off at Daniel chapter 3, verse 26. We'll finish book chapter 3 right quick today. Maybe right quick. Might be a little... But notice what happens in the book of Daniel chapter 3, verse 26. We know what Nebuchadnezzar did with the three Hebrew men, right? He put them in a furnace. Not only did he put them in a furnace, he put coats on them, right? Put clothes upon clothes upon clothes. In chapter 3, verse 26, Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and governors and captains and kings and counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke, guys. And that fire that's been heated, how many times hotter? Seven times. And they was bound. And the fire, they was bound with ropes, right? Mm-hmm. What did the fire burn? The ropes.
Oh, when they fell
down. Yeah, they were ropes for the, and but it didn't even singe their hair. The ropes, even the ropes burned off, but they didn't even smell like it. Now, I know many of you have been around campfires. Many of you probably got burn barrels. Listen, when I go out at night and I go around a campfire, I don't like to come home smelling like smoke. It bothers me. But once you get used to it, it ain't that bad. You know, if you're staying there, it's different. But, I've been to many houses of people smoke cigarettes. And I smoked cigarettes in the past and all that stuff. Did that, done that. And you go in there and you come out and you're like, what in the world?
Yeah.
My wife and I literally had to strip off before we get in and wash everything.
Yeah.
Even your hair. But that's what smoke does. Y'all know that. There's something you need to notice about these boys walking in the midst of the fire and the fire having no power on them. Notice it says, upon whose bodies the fire had no what? Power. You know that's a significance? In Isaiah chapter 43, go there. Isaiah 43 verse 1. Now, who is Isaiah? He's your prophet, right?
No.
But he was a prophet, wasn't he? He was a major prophet. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he had formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You think they knew that?
Oh, yeah.
You better believe that. See, a lot of people don't realize God's word's always been out there. Listen, when the Israelites went down into Egypt, how long was they down there for? How many? 400 years. You know what book they had down there with them?
Job.
The book of Job. The book of Job. That taught them patience. That taught them about a Redeemer. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It's one of the greatest scientific books that you could ever have. Okay? Look, it didn't bother them. You're not going to get burned up. Your clothes aren't even going to get burned. Go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. That is God promised for the Jew doctrinally and prophetically in the tribulation period. Hey, you know they're going to come down. That Antichrist is going to come down hard on them. He's going to kill them, cut their heads off, burn them, whatever the case may be. And you've seen all through history, the Jews had some hard times in history, hadn't they? I mean, all the kings, was it, which one burnt Rome? Or Nero? And all the Jews, prosecuted Jews and stuff? Even, you know, in World War II, Hitler days. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is in the fiery furnace in which they are thrown. The fire, the furnace, Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who? Well, you're turning to Zechariah 2. Zechariah. Malachi chapter 3. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is the like a refiner's fire and a filler's soap. And he that sitteth as a refiner and a purifier of silver, he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. They're going to be purified, guys. That fire is going to purify them. Zechariah chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Zechariah, you're still in Isaiah, right?
I am.
Okay. Hold your finger on Isaiah, because we're going to get there in a second. But Zechariah 13, verse 9 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." They're called on God, didn't they? But if not, God is able to do this. But I'm still not going to bow down to you, Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that when we read that? So he's refining them. He's going to put them through the fire. And it's going to try them. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as the partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Hey, who's going through a fiery trial? What do we talk about Peter? What's Peter in the book? Hebrews is the book of doctrine. James is the book of reproof. Peter's what? Correction. He's correcting them, say, hey, you're going to do some things. You're going to go through that fiery trial. It's okay. You're going to be in Christ. He's able to. You with me? It is a tribulation fire purging out the nation. And the faithful remnant goes through and in, but they don't get burned. They come out the other end. With me? Something, you're not going through no fire today. Yeah, I got tribulation. You ain't seen nothing compared to what's going to happen over here. That's a scary day for the nation Israel. You know that? And all of Israel shall be saved, Paul was talking about Romans 11. It's all that little bitty remnant that ran away to be saved over there. There ain't a lot of people, is it? Out of the nation. A little flock. Out of the whole nation and the nation Israel, and there's probably millions upon millions upon millions of them, just a little flock followed Peter. That's all was saved in that kingdom, guys. Everybody else was apostated. You understand that, don't you? You understand today there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. It don't benefit you one bit to be a Jew today. Everybody's down here. Everybody's got to become a member of the body of Christ. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. Verse 13. "Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among you shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? It's the second coming. What's going to happen over there? You know, John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one to come after me will baptize you with what?
Fire.
And what? Holy Spirit, right? There's a fire baptism going to come down over here. Who's going to dwell? Who's going to do that? Isaiah, verse 15. He that walketh righteousness and speaketh uprightly. That's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They didn't bow down. They didn't wait and counsel. Remember, we talked about that. They were straight-faced with that king. We're not doing it. We're not bowing down. That's a message in there, guys. Many of us get weak-kneed and start bowing down when it comes, oh, I'm getting browbeat. You know, I'm afraid to open up my Bible. No, you stand there and you stand on the doctrine. And that's what Shadrach means. This is why when you read Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, that upon their bodies, a bunch of contrite bodies, they yield unto the Lord. And not even the smell of smoke, go back to Daniel chapter 3, not even the smell of smoke was on them. What God is doing, what you see in the book of Daniel way back over here, that's affecting this week over here, you're seeing God taking a faithful group of believers and he's going to preserve them over there. And they're going right through this tribulation period. That's that prophetic foreview. With me? It ain't got nothing to do with the dispensation of grace. I just want to let y'all know that. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28-30. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yield their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god, see a little g, except their own what? God. See the big G? Now, what did Nebuchadnezzar just do? Now, did he know, we might have talked about this in the past, did he not know who Daniel's God was from Daniel chapter 2? Yeah. But see how your mind can change and get altered and say, I'm God.
He wanted to create his own religion, so he brought in.
That's right. That's what we was talking about before. He says, Therefore, if I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake against anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Man, this is serious business. Now the king of Babylon made that decree that if you said anything against this guy, what is he going to do? That's not a good thing, is it? Now what if the president of the United States, made this statement? If you go against the God of Apostle Paul, and if you don't go against Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to cut you into pieces. We're going to make your house a dunghill. You're going to be fish bait. Would that make you shake? It should. I just think about that. There's kings out there in the world today that takes the little g and says the same thing about Christianity. If you don't bow down to Allah, if you don't do this, we're going to cut your head off. We're going to make examples out of your children. Don't that put fear in people? You know what happens. What the decree shows you is the attitude that God Almighty requires of the Gentile nations during the times of the Gentiles. We're in the times of the Gentiles, and he requires the kings of the nations to do what Nebuchadnezzar does with God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that don't happen today, does it? You know it don't. And from Nebuchadnezzar, back over here, all the way over to the Antichrist. That's the times of the Gentiles. And Nebuchadnezzar expresses the attitude that God requires of the Gentile nations in verses 28 to 29. He made a decree, didn't he? He said, you're going to have to do this. They probably didn't like that. And the attitude for God, of which God is going to judge the Gentile nations. You know, God's going to judge. Remember Matthew 25 we talked about? After the tribulation, and he judges the nations over there. How does he judge them? When you did these least to my brethren. Remember that? God is going to judge the Gentile nations over here if you don't do what God's talking about. Same thing. You think Book of Matthew was written in the times of the Gentiles?
Yep.
Nebuchadnezzar, all the way over here, we're in the times of the Gentiles, guys. That hasn't changed. What you have in Daniel chapter 3 is a picture of the times of the Gentiles in the last days. And it's institution of universal religion and the faithful remnant which stands against it. Now, if we're in the times of Gentiles, can you stand against the universal religion? Can you be faithful and defend the Word of God, rightly divided, according to what God is doing through Paul, and stand against universal religion? Can you get along with everybody out there? What's that word, coexist? Have you seen that stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, look at every one of them and honestly, in your heart saying, can I get along with that? No, you shouldn't do that. It's because of that stand they are persecuted. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For that stand, they're persecuted. Hey, for the stand that you make, you're persecuted. You really are. But people want to see God in you. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to talk to me like that. You know, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. How many times can you turn that cheek? You know, eventually you'd be back around here. You know? Then they knock you down like this way. You know what I mean? It don't make sense. God through Paul tells me, as much lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. If possible, live peacefully with all men. That tells me they might not be possible that I can't. You back me in a corner, you and your doctrine, you believe this, you believe that, you believe that, I've had enough. Yes, I do believe that. This is what God says. This is what He's doing. Now, I've been bold. I'm not as bold as I was in my younger years, but I'm not backing down. And look, they suffered the anger, the fury, the wrath of the tribulation period. But they are faithful because they are faithful to God, and God delivers them out of it. With that deliverance, He delivers a proclamation to the Gentiles that they have to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you see the attitudes that God requires of the nations as a response to their faithful witness of what the faithful remnant did. So He takes them right there, and they show what God is doing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, through Nebuchadnezzar, He put them in power. Right? He makes that decree. He says, this is what's going to happen. And when we start to chapter 4, now I gave you a bunch of test questions. You can take that home with you. Fill it out any time. Maybe we'll get to the test later or something. But you got to see some things. Well, what's that first one say? Answer that first one. Daniel 3 reveals the attempt by Nebuchadnezzar to institute a universal religion. True or false? That's true. So that universal religion is going on today. Hey, it started in Babylon.
They're trying to
Remember the goal? We're look at some of those questions and go over it, and then next week we'll pick that up. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thanks for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.